Today's Amud is Megillah Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We're holding by the Mishnah on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, "In Moicherin Es Shal Rabim Liyachet." We're discussing still the halachas of selling a shul. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to sell a shul Shal Rabim, a shul that has a minion, and sell it to an individual who maybe wants to use it as a place for his baitedus, for learning, for other things. You can't do that. You can't take a shul that has a minion and sell it to a yachet. The reason is, Rabbi Meir says the reason is because you're making it lower in its Kedusha. When you have a minion, so you have Kaddish, you have Kedusha, you have Baruch Hu, you have all the Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. When you sell it to a Yachid, you won't have those things, so therefore you're not allowed to take a Shul Shal Rabbim and sell it to a Yachid. Amru Lai, they said to Rabbi Meir, Imkain, if so, Afloi Meir Gedailo Leir Katana, you also shouldn't be able to sell a shul from a big city to a small city. I guess if you have a shul that's in between a big city and a small city, and right now it's the big city that uses the big city can't sell it to the small city that it should be their shul, that it should be a shul of a small city, because now that's also a Hirada Bigdusha. If you're telling me you can't sell it, you can't take it and make it sell it from a rabbim to a yachid, you also shouldn't be able to sell it from a big city to a small city. So ask the Gemara that Shapir Ka'amri Le Rabbanon, the Rabbi Meir. The Rabbanon seem to have a good taina on her mayor. That L'chayra, according to her mayor, you shouldn't be able to sell a shul of a big city and sell it to a small city. So says the Gemara, what does her mayor say back? Rabbi Meir, Meir Gedailo Leir Katana, Meikara Kedisha, Hashtanami Kedisha. Now, no, there's a difference. When you're selling it from a big city to a small city, so it's still, you still have a minion. You're still going to be able to say the Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. So originally it had Kedusha, and now it still has Kedusha. There's nothing that's changing, so that's mutter. Merabim liyachid, but when you sell it from a rabbim to a yachid, where by a yachid there's like a kedusha, so then that's where we have an issue. That's where Rameir says that that's where you have an issue of selling a shul, but you're allowed to sell from a big city to a small city. V'rabbanan. So what was the Rabbanan's taina? Why did they feel otherwise? Why did they feel that according to our mayor, it should also be usher to sell a shul from a big city to a small city? Says the Gemara, because V'rabbanan i'ika l'meichash ki haigavna nami i'ika l'meichash. If you're being chayshish for this hayrada, that the fact that you had it, that it was being used for Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, it had a minion, and now it's only being used by a yachid, it's still being used as a shul, it's still being used as a makam tefillah. The only difference is that it used to be a rabbim and now it's a yachid. So if you're going to be choishish for such a thing, so then also ki agav nami ikol meichash mishum b'roiv am hadras melech. So then also to sell it from a big city to a small city, you should also be choishish. You should also be concerned and be machshiv this as a hirad de bikdusha, because originally you had more people davening in the shul, and now you're going to have less. And the din is roiv am hadras melech, that there's more beauty, there's a hiddur in having more people. So that should also be considered a hirad in kedusha, and that's why the rabbanon. That's the explanation of their taina on Rameir, which apparently Rameir didn't consider that a taina. He says, "Lamaisa, you're still saying dvarim shebe kedusha, and just more people, less people. That he did not consider to be a significant hirad be kedusha." Says the Mishnah now, a meicher in Beis HaKnesses ella al tanai. You're only able to sell a shul al tanai shem yirtzu yachziruhu divrei meir. That if you want, you could buy it back. So let's say you have people in City A and they want to sell the shul to Reuven, so they could sell the shul to Reuven, but they have to include a tanai in the contract. They have to include, they have to make a stipulation. They have to stipulate that it's only on the condition that if in 10 years from now, let's say they want to buy the shul back from Reuven, Reuven has to agree to sell it back to them. He has to be masking him to sell it back. Otherwise, it's a bizarre in stamp to sell the shul and to say goodbye. So this way, at least there's a tanai that, no, if they want it back, if they need it back, they have that opportunity. So that's the only way you're allowed to even sell a shul. That's the shita of Rameir. You could only sell a shul with such a tanai. The chachamim say that no, meicher naisa mimkar oilam. That no, you're allowed to sell a shul even for a permanent purchase. You could sell it that it should be the buyer's forever. You don't have to include such a tanai that you're allowed to buy it back. Now, even when you're allowed to sell a shul, says the Mishnah, chutz me'arba devarim. But it cannot be used, you can't sell it for the following four purposes. It could be used for certain mundane things, like we spoke about before, especially if you sell it but even without that stuff, it can't be used for the following four things. That it can never be used for. What are those four things? Lemerchatz, as a bathhouse. Leborski, as a tanner, as a place to tan hides. Letzfila, as a mikvah. Ulebeis hamayim, Rashi gives two pshatim, either a laundromat or a place for a bathroom. So those are purposes that are already considered like a bezayin. You can't sell a shul for any of these things. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that no, meicher naisa l'shem chatzer, that no, you could sell it and you can make a tanai. You can make a tanai that it should go to chulan, it should be like a chatzer, v'halakeach ma'ashir t'yasa, and then the lakeach could do with it mamish whatever he wants. So on the one hand, it's a chumrah. Rabbi Yehuda says that you need to sell it with a tanai, that it should be like a chatzer, but on the other hand, it's a kula. Rabbi Yehuda has that he holds that it could be used for any purpose. Once you make that tanai, so then it could be used for any purpose. So as the Gemara now, we mentioned in the Reisha, Rabbi Meir said that when you sell a shul, the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that you have to sell, you have to include a tanai that if you want to force the buyer to sell it back to you, so then he has to sell it back. That if you ever want it back, if you ever want the shul back, the buyer has to sell it back. So ask the Gemara, so it's what's going to be the case? Let's say we have City A, they sell the shul to Reuven, so now it's Reuven. So Reuven's going to use it, let's say he's going to open up a grocery store inside where that used to be the shul. So he's going to be opening up a grocery store. It's his, he's not paying rent on the grocery store, it's it. He owns the building, he bought it. And then what's going to happen, 10 years down the line, City A is going to go to Reuven and they're going to say, actually never mind, I think we want the shul back. So now Reuven's going to be forced to sell it back to City A. So the $10 million, let's say, that he spent to buy it, he's now gonna have to give back to City, he's gonna get it back from City A, and City A is gonna get their shul back, so they're gonna trade the $10 million for the shul, and they're gonna trade it back. So ask the Gemara, that's the way it's going to come out if you're Rabbi Meir. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir's setup, the way he has things, so heichi dairiba. So how is Reuven, how is he allowed to live in this building? How is he allowed to open up his store? Ha'havia lo ribis. It's gonna come out, he's taking ribis. Because what's gonna come out, the way we just explained it? City A, when City A ends up taking the shul back and they give Reuven back the money, the way we view that, even though it's happening derech mekach u'memkar, is that it's a little bit like a loan. It's going to come out that Reuven was almost like that City A was like borrowing Reuven's $10 million, and now they're giving it back to Reuven and they're taking back the collateral. They're taking back the shul. So now that batsam would be fine, but the problem is that you can't pay a person back more than what he gave you for the loan. So Reuven gave the city $10 million. The city's then giving back to Reuven the $10 million, but they're really giving him back more because for the last 10 years that Reuven's been operating his store inside this building, Reuven wasn't paying rent. He got free rent, so he's getting back the $10 million, but he's getting even back more because he's getting free rent. So that's called ribis. So ask the Gemara, according to Meir's setup, how is Reuven allowed to live in the shul during those years, during that time period, when the city could claim back the shul? It's going to come out that if they end up taking it back and giving back Reuven his money, it's going to come out that Reuven was taking interest. He was taking ribis. So Amra Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. It says Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Meir said that this was fine because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to help you? The Amar, Rabbi Yehuda said that sad echad beribis mutter. Now, when you have ribis derech mekach u'memkar, it's not a typical case of a loan. It's a case where it happens ayidei a sale, and there's a tzad that it could end up being ribis. Meaning, if they decide to take the shul back, it's going to end up being ribis. If they don't take the shul back, so then there's no ribis. That's called sad echad beribis. If a certain thing happens, it's going to end up being a situation like ribis. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in such a case, it's mutter, that there's no problems. And Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he wasn't worried for this setup. Where's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya we learned to the Braisa. Harei shahaya noisei b'chaveiroi mane. If let's say you had a person who was teiveya from his friend a mane, va'asulai sedeyu mecher. So what he did was, let's say Reuven was toivea money from Shimon. Shimon owed Reuven some money. So what happened was, is Shimon gave Reuven a field instead. He gave Reuven a field. He said, take this field in the meantime. Bizman shemaycher eichel peiro is mutter. So now if Shimon, if Shimon, the one, Reuven, again, Reuven's the one who claimed the money from Shimon. Shimon's the Baal Asad, the Be'etzem. Shimon gives the field to Reuven in the meantime. So now, if Shimon is going to continue eating from the fruits of the field, so then that's mutter. However, like Kech, Eichel Peiros, it's Aser. But if Reuven eats the fruits from the field, so then it's going to be Aser. Why? Because then eventually later, Shimon's going to come to Reuven with his money. Shimon's going to take his field back. So it's going to come out that Shimon gave Reuven back the money that he borrowed from him. He gave back his loan. But then also Reuven got ribbis because he got the extra fruits from the field, which was completely extra for the loan. So that's ribbis. So therefore says the Tanakhama that that's going to be Aser. However, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu likeach eichel peiros mutter. Then no, even in a setup that the likeach takes the fruit, that's going to be mutter, let's say because sadecha beribis. It's only going to end up being ribis if Shimon ends up wanting his field back and giving Reuven the money. So therefore it's only sadecha beribis, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Va'am Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, he had a raya to a shita. Again, once again in Shas, Rabbi Yehuda bringing a raya to a shita from a story, a maisa bebaisus ben zoinen, sha'asa sedeu mech, that this mamish story happened with the Baisus ben Zainin, and he made his field like a sale. He sold his sale to the one who he owed money to. He sold his field to the one who he owed money to, and it was done with the overseeing of Reb Elazar ben Azariah. And the lekeach was eating the fruits. So you see a riot to me that tzadech beribis is mutter. However, Amru Loi, the Tanakama, the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yehuda that no, misham raya, that from that story story that you're bringing a raya, meicher eichel peiros haya. It was the meicher who was eating the peiros, v'loy lekeach, and that had nothing to do with tzadecha beribis. Says the Gemara, we've been explaining this, that the machlekes is al tzadecha beribis. Says the Gemara, my benayu, what's the machlekes based off of? Says the Gemara, tzadecha beribis ike benayu. The machlekes is about, is regarding tzadecha beribis. Mar savar tzadecha beribis mutter. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that tzadecha beribis is mutter, and therefore even the lekeach, the lekeach is allowed to eat from the fruits. Umar savar tzadecha beribis aser. The Tanakama, the Chochamim, they say that no, tzadecha beribis is aser, and therefore the lekeach is not allowed to be the one who eats in the fruits. Rava says a whole different pshat of the machlekes. The kuli alma tzadecha beribis aser. It could be everybody agrees that tzadecha beribis is aser. So how does Rabbi Yehuda matter in this case that the lekeach is eating the fruit? The deal that they made is that if Shimon ends up taking his field back and giving Reuven the money, so then all the fruits, whatever money's worth of fruits that Reuven ate, he's also going to have to return that money to Shimon. So it's ribis amanas lahachzir, that Reuven's going to have to eventually pay back Shimon whatever it is that he benefited from the field. So ma'arsav a ribis amanas lahachzir mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda says in such a setup that it's ribis, but it's amanas lahachzir, Reuven's going to pay back Shimon. So that's mutter. Ma'arsav a aser, whereas the Tanakhama says, and no, such a setup is aser. So the Mishnah said, "V'chachamim ma'imrim meichen oisem mimkar oilam v'chulu." Really, the Gemara now is going to focus on the end of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda had a chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda said that no, you could sell a shul for l'shem achatzer. You can make a tanai, and then the buyer could do with it whatever he wants. The Tanakhama said that no, there are four things you can't do with the shul. You can't use it. One of them being a base of mayim. You can't use it as a bathroom. Rabbi Yehuda said that no, you could use it for anything as long as you make a tanai. So says the Gemara that Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that's mutter la'adam lahashte mayim b'soich arba amay shal tefila. Now the person only has to distance himself four amays from a makim tefila, and then he could go to the bathroom. So says the Gemara Am Rav Yosef Ma'akam Ashmalon. There's no chiddush in this halacha. The Tanena, it's my first in our Mishnah that this is true. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meicher Noise L'Shem Chatzer, Ulekeach Mashi Yirtzi Yase. It says that the buyer could do with the shul whatever it is that he wants. Vafilu Rabbanon Lekamri Alabes Akinesis the Kvia Kedushase. And even the Rabbanon who were Chaylik, and they said that no, that you can't make it into a bathroom, that's because they were talking about using the shul itself as a bathroom. And the shul itself is Kvia Kedushase. Avol Dalad Amois to like Kvia Kedushase. But to go four amis away from the shul, so that's not kavua the kedusha, and therefore even the rabbanon would agree that that's mutter. So the lechayit is no chiddush in this halacha that you just have to go dalad amis away. Says the gemara now, Tani Tana Kameder of Nachman, Hamispalel Marchik Arba Amis Umashtin. Person davens on the side of the road. He's going on a road trip, and he has to daven on the side of the road. So after he finishes davening, he has to go to the bathroom. There's no bathrooms around, especially in those days. So he would just go on the side of the road. So as Rav Nachman, when you go, you have to make sure you go 4 amos away from the place that you stood and davened. V'hamashtin, and similarly, if you have the opposite scenario, let's say the person first took the pit stop because he needed to go to the bathroom, so he goes to the bathroom, and then he realizes it's close to Shkia, he needs to daven Mincha, so he's marchik arba amos u'mispalo, he has to make sure to distance himself 4 amos from the place that he went to the bathroom, and only there to go ahead and start davening. So now, Amar Leh, so that's what the Tana said in front of Rav Nachman. So Amar Leh, so Rav Nachman said back to this Tana, that Bishlamo, the second case, Hamashtin, Marchik Arba Amis Umispalel, I understand, that makes sense, that halacha, that after you go to the bathroom, so you can't daven in that place, you have to go Dal Amis away in order to daven. Tanena, and we have a similar halacha, we have a Mishnah about this, with regards to the Kriya Shema. It says, Kama Yarchik Mehenu Minatsoya, Arba Amis. It says, how much does a person have to distance himself from when he goes to the bathroom? He has to distance himself 4 amos. Ella, but the Reisha, the first halacha that the Tana said, the first halacha that you said, that Hamispalel Marchik Arba Amis Umashtin, Lamali. But this halacha that you said, that if you daven on the side of the road, so now you can't go to the bathroom in that spot. You have to go 4 amos away if you want to go to the bathroom. Who mechatesi? Whoever, where do you get such a halacha from? And furthermore, said Rav Nachman to the Tano, that Ihochi, if so, if you're right, that any time you daven in a specific place, now you have to be marchik yourself 4 amis from that place before you go to the bathroom, so then kadeshtinu lukulu shavile de Nahardo. So then you were just makdish all the fields, all the roads of Naharda. Naharda was a place that people drove through all the time. It was a classic pit stop. And people would daven there. They would daven there. And if you're telling me that you're not allowed to go to the bathroom within a Dal Amis from a place that you davened, even just as a temporary place, so then you can never go to the bathroom on anywhere in Naharda. You're going to have to go inside an actual stall. You're not going to be able to go on the side of the road. I guess that was a normal thing back then. How could it be? You can't go to the bathroom on the side of the road in Naharda. Every square inch, every part of Naharda, people davened there once upon a time. So if so, if you're telling me that any time you have a place that you davened, so you can't go to the bathroom there, you have to separate, you have to go 4 amis away, so then you can never go to the bathroom on the roads of Naharda. So says the Gemara, Tani Yisha, Enechanami. When this Tana said to Rav Nachman, that you have to be marchik dal amais, he didn't mean dal amais in space. He didn't mean to go a certain amount of feet away from the place that you davened, or away from the place that you went to the bathroom. He's talking about the sheer of zman, an amount of time. How much time do you have to wait before you daven? How much time do you have to wait before you go to the bathroom? So the Gemara is going to explain. So Bishlama Mashtin, so I understand the halacha is, in the second case, that when you go to the bathroom in a certain place, so Yisha Kedei Hiluch Arba Amos, so then you have to wait the amount of time it takes to walk 4 amos before you start davening, that halacha makes sense, Mishom Nitzaitzis, because until you wait the sheer zman of Dal Amos, so there might be some drops that are still coming out, and therefore it's not appropriate to daven, so you have to wait the sheer zman of Dal Amos, the amount of time it takes to walk 4 amos, so that halacha makes sense, that if you go to the bathroom, you have to wait Dal Amos. Ella, but the first halacha that you said, that mispalel yisha kedei hiluch the 4 amos, that when you daven, now you have to wait the amount of time it takes 4 amos before you go to the bathroom. Lamali, why do you have to wait? What's the meaning of this, of waiting after you daven before you go to the bathroom? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Shekol 4 amos tfilasei sedura bepiv. The reason is because once you just finished davening, Alavai, as soon as you just finished davening, so you're within this man, it takes to walk 4 amos, so your tefillah is still stuck on your mind. Virachushe, and it's mamish in your mouth. Virachushe, merachshen, sevase. And your lips are still moving. You're naturally just still talking. You're still talking. You're still davening. And therefore, you have to wait the amount of time it takes to walk dalad amos. You get it out of your head. You get it off your lips. And then you could go to the bathroom. That's the halacha that the Tana was saying in front of Rav Nachman. Nothing to do with going a distance of 4 amos away. It was talking about the sheer zman of how long you have to wait in between each activity. Zalfan Simen. So this is now a Simen for the different names of the Tanayim that we're going to discuss, that they asked them how they were Zaycha to Arichas Yamim. The Gemara now, for a while, is going to go on, so a little bit of Agadito, just of the Tamidim who asked the Rebbeim how it is that the Rebbe was Zaycha to Arichas Yamim. So says the Gemara, Sha'alu Tamidav es Rabbi Zakkai. So that's the Zion of Zalfan. He's the first one. The Tamidim of Rabbi Zakkai, they asked him, Bama Harachta Yamim. What's your schos? How were you Zaycha to have long life? So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Zakkai said to them that Miyamai Lahishtanti Mayim Besaych Dal Amay Shal Tfila. I never went to the bathroom within 4 amis of the place that I davened, of the place that somebody davened, meaning not just in terms of waiting. That's the ikar lahalacha. That's mikar didina. You have to wait the amount of time it takes to walk dalan amis after you daven before you go to the bathroom. The chiddush of Reb Zakkai is that he was makbid even like that half amina that we said before. He was makbid that if there was a place that someone davened, he didn't go to the bathroom within dalan amis of that place. He took on a chumrah. In general, all the different anhagas that we're going to see, the different tanayim answer that they had, there are lists of chumras that they took on. So this was his chumrah. He took on this chumrah that he didn't go to the bathroom within Dal Amis of a place that someone davened. V'loy kinisi shame l'chaveirai. And I never gave a nickname to one of my friends. Tesis points out, meaning to give a derogatory nickname, that's not a chiddush. Obviously, he didn't give a derogatory nickname to his friend. What he means to say is even a nickname that's not derogatory. Even such a nickname, he did not give his friend any sort of nickname. He called his friend by his actual name. V'loy bidalti kiddush hayayim. And also, I was never mevatel kiddush hayayim. I was always makbid to say kiddush on wine, even though, as we'll see soon, it was very difficult for him. Financially, things were very difficult. He was makbid to always have kiddush al hayayin. And says the Gemara that ima zekena isali, the Reb Zakkai said over, I had a very old mother, and pam achas machra kippa shebereisha, she one time sold the cap on her head, the hat on her head, uevili kiddush hayoyim, and she knew I didn't have any wine for kiddush that week, she sold the hat on her head so that I would have wine for kiddush. And says the Gemara, that mitoich, that they were mekayim this mitzvah, mitoich tremendous anias, Tana was taught that kishamesa, when his mother, when this older mother, when she died, henichulai, Shalosh Meyais Garbe Yayin. She left over Beirushatim 300 barrels of wine, because he was Zayir and Kiddush Hayayin, like Tosis brings, so therefore he was Zaycha to have all of these barrels of wine to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Beheder. And Kishameis Hu, says the Gemara, that when Reb Zakkai himself, he was at Arichas Yamim, but at the end of his Arichas Yamim, ultimately when he was Nifter, so Haniach Lebanov Shloishas Alafim Garbe Yayin. He gave over Beirusha to his children 3,000 barrels of wine. Says the Gemara that Rav Huna have a asa risa v'kai kamei derav. Says the Gemara that Rav Huna was one time wearing a string. Instead of wearing a belt, he was wearing some sort of reed string around his waist as like a belt, and he was standing in front of Rav. So Amar Lei, so Rav said to Rav Huna, then my hi, what's going on over here? Why are you wearing this funny thing around your waist? Why aren't you wearing a belt? So Amar Lei, so Rav Huna said to Rav, because lihavali kiddusha, I didn't have any wine for kiddush, I didn't have any money to buy things for kiddush, and therefore mashkante lahiyamnai va'asoi bekiddusha. So I gave as a mashkan, I gave my belt to be able to borrow some money, and I was able to then buy wine for kiddush. So Amar Lei, so Rav said to Rav Huna, yehi Rava, it should be Hashem's ratzon, the sitom b'shirai, that you should be covered in silk, you should be zeicha to tremendous Shiras, tremendous wealth, you should be covered in silk. And says the Gemara, ki iklal Rabba Bray, that eventually, when he was marrying off Rabba, his son, so Rav Huna inish gutza hava, so Rav Huna, he was a very short person, just that was his nature, he was a shorter person, and gana puraya, and so after the chasna, he was all worn out, and he went to sleep on a bed. And Asyan binaseu kalase, and his daughters and his daughter-in-laws, they came, and they didn't notice him there. And Shulchan v'shadyan minayu alei adi'itum bishirai. And so they threw their dresses off, and they threw it on top of him. They didn't realize he was sleeping there until he was covered in silk. So Shama Rav Vikpat. So Rav, when he found out about this, he had a hakpado against Rav Huna that Rav Huna had this, that he was literally covered in silk. And Amar, and he said that my time ulay amar tali ki birachticha v'chein lamar. He said to Rav Huna, I see obviously my bracha, it was some sort of ace rotzen at the time that I gave you my bracha. You see, it was mamish fulfilled. You should have told me v'chein lamar. It was some sort of ace rotzen. When I gave you the bracha, you should have said v'chein lamar, that I should also be zaycha. Maybe by me it would have came out actual ashiras money that I could keep. But that was his akpada on Rav Huna, that he didn't say v'chein lamar.